Gil. I think he's in the G.
Scott, maybe he missed the off-ramp.
I'm going to call to order the meeting of the South Central Suffolk County Sanitation District for Wednesday, July 6, 2016.
I'm going to turn it right there, right here. You got it. You hit it.
All right. Wow. What a difference. What a difference a mic makes. All right. Call to order regular meeting for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District Board of Directors. And roll call, please.
Turn on your mic.
Director Lucy.
Here.
Chairman Hill. Chairman Schultz.
Here.
Director Brown.
Here.
Very good. Would you all please stand and rise with us for the Pledge of Allegiance tonight?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I have to say, I like the acoustics in here. Very well. Ben.
Well. Little new carpet and paint helps too.
Ah, gotcha. There you ain't. How about agenda review? Do any member, board members want to change the order of the agenda?
I move that we accept the agenda as is.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. Let's move to public comments. This is an opportunity for any member of the community to bring up anything that is not on the agenda.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I wanted to speak to a couple of things that I didn't find on your agenda, and I know we've talked about them in the past. One being looking for bids for the FOG program for you to perform the work for Arroyo Grande in Grover Beach. I don't know where that's going, and it seems to me that there has been an opportunity to provide savings to those two communities, and I'd like to see either simply your district make a proposal, but I had thought, I had heard that at least one of the cities had asked for a proposal, and there was no response from this district, so I don't know what happened there. I'm curious. The other thing that I was surprised to not see on tonight's agenda is a closed session regarding the litigation. As much as I want you to get out of the litigation business, I want you to do it as swiftly as possible, and it seems to me that you would have had a closed session item in order to whatever the negotiations are, you would be working on those, and there'd be an update from your legal counsel or something. So I'm disappointed that I'm not seeing that. The last thing that I will say that I'm disappointed in is just looking in the room tonight, Mr. Clemens is again not here. And I think, I've been coming to the Sanitation District meetings for eight years. And there was always the superintendent. I think he sat over here. At the board meetings and provided, he was there for questions or whatever the board, but provided the report that is in written form, but always was able to answer questions and expand on the information. And this is, I think, the third meeting without Mr. Clemens, and I think that's a disservice to you as board members. You want that expertise at your fingertips, and this is the place to do it in public so that we can all ask questions and all be on the same page with information. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Good evening, Chairman Schultz and board. My name's Linda Austin. I'm an Oceano resident, and I'm here tonight to talk two things about the last meeting. And the first thing is there was a speaker was talking, and they were going to educate our Oceana representative as to what an audit was.
Go ahead, Linda.
Let me go ahead, because yeah. She thought that, you know, Miss Lucy did not know. So, her attempts to belittle and embarrass Miss Lucy were allowed to go on. And of course she was wrong in what she said. And then when Miss Lucy was pointed out in her own defense that she was very well aware of what an audit was and what the different types of audits, then the Aurora Grandy board member called to Mary, "You're off topic." And then the chair said, "Mary, stop." So I'm, you know, is here with my Oceana representative, and I would just ask that the board, when any one of you is attacked by the public, which happens a lot with Mary Lucy, that they're allowed to come to their own defense without being cut off, because that was, you know, it's a long history of people trying to humiliate the Oceana rep, and I don't like it as a resident. And then a second item is the hiring of our new administrator. I was very happy when he was hired. I saw his resume, the summary, but it's on the website. His qualifications go above and beyond, you know, what is needed over there to run that plant. And at the first meeting, I was there, his first meeting, and I saw his performance, and I was extremely impressed and so confident and happy that, oh, we've got a great administrator. So I was very comfortable and left the meeting and very happy. And then from the very beginning, every meeting now, there's been attempts to, you know, take stabs at him, and they're wanting more information, the whole resume. And, you know, I'm just saying, I don't see any ratepayers that live in Oceana, Roy Grandy, Grover Beach, demanding to see his full resume. They trust your judgment. They know, you know, you're doing your job. You hired the best man you could. And so I'd just like to say, too, that, you know, I'm a neighbor of the sanitation plant. I was there when it was built. I've been neighbor ever since, and I've always been, never had a problem there, always been happy with what was going on over there, never had any complaints. And now with what's going on now with our new administrator and the staff over there, I think the plant's running very nicely, and I'm very happy and proud, and I just want to thank you all, too, for all you do, for all your work here on the board. But that's the things I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Austin.
Thank you, Linda.
Anyone else? There's no one coming forward. I'm going to close and bring it back to the board. So let's move on with our agenda. And we are going to move to the consent agenda. There are three items on consent. So let's see if there's any board members who want to pull any items from consent.
Chairman Scholes, I just have a few comments on the consent agenda, if I may. With item 5A, approval of the minutes for the meeting of June 1st, there is a change. You'll see a slight change. We have those changes before you. Essentially, under public comments and items not appearing on the agenda, which was page 1, the word we use, the city of Aurora Grande, erroneously it should have been Grover Beach. And so that's it for the minutes. And regarding the warrants, item 5C, there is one deletion that is being proposed. That is the Grover Tool rental. It's equipment rental. That will show up at under the credit cards under next month's agenda. So that's proposed to be deleted off the warrant.
Very good. Thank you, Gerhardt. Okay. Mary, you have any items you wanted to pull from your set?
No.
There we go. Okay. Does any member of the public want to comment on any consent items?
Julie Tacker again, and the biggest concern I have is the Downey Brand warrant for outside legal counsel in May, and I'm curious if I could get an answer if that's the last check.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Let me close and bring it back to the board. And Gerhardt, can you respond, provide information on that? I saw that in
the Downey Brown?
The Downey Brown, yes.
So that's the expenses that were incurred. Of course, we always pay in arrears. Some of that work is, of course, the stay that occurred and unwinding or yeah. wrapping up some things. I can't guarantee that that will be it, but as we move further down the road with potentially settlement, I expect those expenses to decrease and ultimately, if we are successful, to be eliminated.
Yeah, and that's what I had thought, that was just preparation of the stay, so that is allowing us to continue moving forward in negotiations. So, okay. So if there's no other questions of staff, is someone prepared to make a motion on the consent agenda?
Move for approval.
Okay, there's a motion by Board Member Brown.
Second.
There's a second. Let's see, no additional discussion. Just do roll call.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Chairman Scholes?
Yes.
Director Brown?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you, Amy. And then item number six is the District Administrator and Plan Superintendent's Report. And Gerhard, was John supposed to be here? Or?
Yes. So in spite of the comments you heard earlier, John has been invited to these, and there are various reasons why he hasn't come in the past.
Okay.
Fully expect John to be here. In fact, he's going to be presenting part of item number six, as well as presenting item 7A and 7C. So I guess I would ask your indulgence. Perhaps we can just perhaps wait. We can either wait for him to arrive and perhaps do item 7B a little bit out of order and 7D, or we can proceed with the agenda.
So do we know where he is? Okay,
we're not going to walk into the door.
Okay, then we will wait. Anything more than 30 seconds, we're going to move on.
All right. So I said we're ready to proceed with the district administrator and plant superintendent report. I'll do the first part of that report and then turn the mic over to our plant superintendent.
Very good.
So, Chairman Scholes, members of the board, members of the audience, Gerhard Huebner, I'll be introducing this item. You have a written report before you. We've updated many of the items within it. The first one that I want to bring to your attention is actually on page one. We did have our annual inspection from the regional board. This is an inspection that they conduct annually. We had prior notice that they would be coming to our facility. I spent significant time before talking with Katie DeSimone, who's the regional board staffer and the permit writer assigned to our facility. We talked about, of course, the past, the present, and future, and things that's going on at the district. I also took the opportunity to ask her about our permit renewal and the process for that. She shared with me a bit of their timeline. They are backlogged. They have several of the staff have been reassigned. Nevertheless, they are committed to doing our renewal, and they think that may occur, I would say, in earnest sometime in 2017, early part of 2017. Subsequently, we gave her access to the facilities, anywhere she wanted to look at, including our records. Mr. Clemens accompanied me, as well as other staff, on various portions of the tour. I would say that the tour went, or the inspection, more or less, went very well. I would say notable was how many things that she felt had been installed at the facility in terms of backup, whether there be electrical, pumps, valves, and other redundant facilities. And so those were notable. She had a few, two things sort of housekeeping, which we appreciated. One was to a spill containment. We had some chemicals. And then the sludge wall in our sludge drying bed, which actually had been on our CIP program and we were aware of, and told her that at some point we will be getting to that. So overall, it was a very, very good, I think, inspection report. And so that's the first thing you see on my report to you. Yes.
I have a question.
Okay.
Did she talk at all a little bit about the timeline? I see that you have January 2017 on your report.
Yes. Yes, we.
because of their backlog.
Right.
Is the rationale for it.
Right.
So is that a drop dead deadline?
No.
Is it? How much do you think it can fluctuate either way?
I think it can fluctuate considerably. We're on an administrative extension. So from the district's perspective, other than we'd like to have a timely renewal and not have it hanging out there, we continue under the 2009 permit and all those provisions.
Okay. The reason why I ask this question is just to kind of foresee if there's going to be any impact on the redundancy project or any other project. So if we're operating under administrative status, you know, we should be able to continue to move forward no matter how quickly we move forward on the projects.
Agree.
Or is that going
to... At this point, I don't see any impact to the redundancy project moving forward. In fact, Ms. Katie indicated several times her support, and prior conversations I've had with Regional Board Management is they're very encouraging. They want us to move forward. They've encouraged us. They've put it in writings previously. So they would like to see that done as soon as possible.
Yeah, I got that impression as well. I just don't want to have any problems down the road more. Thank you.
You're welcome. Moving on to further things in the report, we're making progress with our sewer bridge project. We continue to refine that project as we try to move forward with our environmental document. Our grit removal system project, the grubbing has occurred. I say grubbing, there's construction equipment out there and they're digging. With our mechanical bar screen project, that one will be going to bid at some point in the near future. Our redundancy project and some of our analysis is coming, moving along, and we hope to get back to the Coastal Commission hopefully in early August. On our terms of our facility grant, we had a meeting actually today to look at some of the milestones in terms of when we might have that project and that study complete, and right now it's looking like mid-fall. We continue to work with PG&E on potentially a cogen unit, but that's in preliminary discussion. You will have some discussion on our district control building and administrative office. There's several items that are related to that, so I won't go into further detail. John will include some of that with his presentation on those items. We have updates where appropriate, where I participated in some of our regional efforts. We continue to make progress with our partners. You will today hear on our IRWM efforts. That will be a separate item, and you can ask questions when we get to that particular item. So with that, I'd like to turn the mic over to our plant superintendent. Well, he'll give you a report on some of the activities that occurred in the last couple weeks.
Thank you, Gerhardt. John, you got the floor.
Good evening, Chairman Scholes, Board. First, I apologize for being late. I had to go pick a staffer up after hours at the last moment in slow, and then when I got back, I went to the place where we last met when I was present. And then I realized when I got to the door that maybe we weren't meeting there. So
I got you. No worries, John. No worries.
So I wanted to apologize for that. Otherwise, I'd have been here. And Amy had mentioned OCSD, but it just didn't register.
You're fine. You're fine.
During this reporting period, we've met all of our permit limitations with the exception of suspended solids. If you look at our graph, we're over our effluent limit by 5 milligrams per liter for the second consecutive month. We've tried a methodical approach. Last year, we went through this again during the same month, through June and July, and we wrestled. As I said back then, we wrestled the district back into compliance. But we were trying a number of things at one time. This year, we're trying to do a more methodical approach. And we've flushed the trickling filter a couple of times. We've washed our chlorine contact chamber. We've changed dosages of our of a chemical, or actually it's polymer. And so we're moving along. The frustration is, with all that we do, we're still getting the same number, which is very odd. It's very odd to get the same number under any condition. And so that in itself is a clue. We hope to have it solved here in the next few weeks. There's two more things that we want to try before we start looking maybe for elsewhere. We're going to, in the next two nights, we're going to shut down the plant and clean out that same line that we cleaned out that was our problem last year. So that's one of the things we want to try, and then we want to take a good look at draining our secondary clarifier, which is the last point before the water goes out to the disinfection system. We want to take a look at that. So we'll be doing that over the next couple of weeks. If that doesn't work, then at that time we'll make decisions about what to do next. But we are on it. The good news in it is that it's considered a minor violation by the water board. So it is on the fourth minor violation in a 180-day period that they impose a minimum fine, the minimum fine being $3,000. So this is our second minor. I use the term minor. They may use something different, but this is our second minor violation in a 180-day period. So two more occurrences would result in a fine. At this point, we're only halfway there. So we'll be making every effort to get that right. Other than that, all our other numbers are well within range. We did have a really heavy flow weekend this week. It didn't seem to impact the plant any. I mean, we've got a lot more water through. We get a lot more water. I think this is our biggest flow weekend, 4th of July weekend. Mm-hmm. And Thanksgiving are typically our biggest flow weekends. We got through there, no leaks, drains, nothing strange happened. So, even with this exceedance, can't blame it on the holiday season. It's just one of those things we've got to get a grasp on. It's happened at the same time of year, 2 years in a row, so we need to, that gives us a clue okay. So we can track it down. That being said, for operation maintenance projects, we had to remove the urinal removed in the men's restroom. That'll be part of a report coming up. We trimmed foliage in the sludge lagoon area back to the fences. Replaced a broken valve on our chlorine line, repair controller on our FFR bay door, replaced equipment wiring at the number two primary, drain primary clarifier number two, completed installation of a variable frequency drive on a fluid pump number two. Installed a variable frequency drive for the centrifuge conveyor, raised manholes at 17th and 19th Street in Oceano, repaired an auto solenoid on our boiler gas line, filled primary number two with processed water, flushed our fixed film reactor, drained and cleaned the chlorine contact chamber, replaced leaking seals on our sludge mixing pump, performed three fog inspections in Oceano during the month of June, and completed installation of bisulfide backup system. On the manhole raising, I wasn't here, but I was really happy with our staff because that was their first opportunity since I've been here to actually do that type of work. Typically, it's contracted out, but I thought it'd be a good opportunity for our team to learn. So they were resurfacing a couple of grounds, a couple of roads in Oceano. And our staff took it on themselves to go out and do the work it took to raise that manhole back up, those two manholes back up to grade. So and they got it done. They got it done fairly smoothly. It was good work for them. With that, I'll be more than happy to answer any questions the board may have.
Thank you, John and Garrett. Any questions of Mr. Huebner or Clemens?
Not right now.
Okay, none right now. Harry?
Yeah, just real quick. You mentioned there was a pattern in these minor discrepancies in the numbers, right?
And yes.
I use the word minor very lightly. So have you kind of like, do you think it's maybe a chemical, you know, what I first think of is we have 40,000 people coming into the area that typically are not here, you know? And what are they bringing with them that's in common? And so I think, like, RVs. We have 40,000 RVs that go through here on a three-day weekend. And what are in those septic tanks? I mean, could it be something that somebody's doing something at a certain time of the year?
That was one of the first things we discussed, because I called over to Pismo, and they experienced the same type of rise, but they actually got over it a lot sooner than we have. And so, you know, being that it's seasonal and it happens to be the season when the tourists arrive, that's something that we really need to look at, take water samples and maybe see if there's more of something in the water that doesn't allow our
water to settle. Maybe a concentration that. Or, you know, something. I think, too, is that we use less water, so there's less diluting.
I think you bring up another good point. We look back since 2009, and what we saw was our solids results typically rise during this time of year. But that was in the past. Now that we are more concentrated because we're using less water, one of the thoughts is that it may have what was going on fine in the past, but because the concentrations are higher, we have more of an impact. And mm-hmm. no matter what the occasion, we got to figure out what it is and address it so that come next June, we won't be fighting the same battle. But
right.
we're in the process of trying to analyze. And that's why we're going slow. We're trying to do one thing at a time so we can see at what point we get improvement and help us analyze and prepare for in the future.
Yeah, who knows? You know, maybe one of these RV places do all their flushing 1-2 weeks during that period.
Yeah, there's a major coincidence. It's the same exact months 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's suspicious.
I just want to add what John said. We had we convened all staff meeting about a week ago just to problem solve, mm-hmm. to brainstorm, to mm-hmm. make sure that we're not missing anything. We had some of course, our long-term employees. Perhaps they had experienced this in the past and bring in their experience in as well. And then we essentially, by process of elimination, as John said, kind of do a controlled experiment along with sampling. To see where we can pinpoint perhaps where the problem is and fix it sooner than later.
Right. Well, it sounds like you're doing everything possible. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the item before the board?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I was curious why the manholes needed to be raised at 17th and 19th, and I kind of think I know, but I'll let you answer the question. With regard to the spike in Los Osos, Gerhardt, you might remember this. We had spike in nitrate, I think it was the Easter week, and our engineers thought that it had to do with the eating of ham.
What?
Ham. Because there's nitrate in ham. Maybe there's hot dogs and bacon and other things happening here that might change your numbers. I don't know. But people are eating differently this
Haggis.
Time of year. Holiday.
Oh my gosh.
Haggis.
I did have some questions regarding with Mr. Huebner's report, where he talks about the redundancy project and that the geotechnical work is done. I'd like to see the reports, the work that has been done. Clearly that is about transparency. I would think you would want to see those reports. The satellite recovery facilities grant, there's a warrant for $6,000 on this packet that you just approved to WSC. I think maybe a status update would be, I mean, waiting till mid-fall to have a final report, that's another possible 3 months out. So maybe a status update would make sense. The issues with the district control building and office, It says here that you were going to get, or you're expecting to get ergonomic specialists and risk management memos. You got one on the 15th of June. I think that should be added to your report. And then you're expecting another one maybe next week. That also should be added to the reports as attachments, some sort of exhibits, especially when you're later doing things that have to do with money that address what's found in those reports. The regional efforts, Mr. Huebner speaks to water reuse and that everybody's looking at water reuse, and then this regional South County recycling efforts and speaking with having a meeting with Pismo Beach. I am concerned that this district's efforts on a regional approach to recycling are behind those of Pismo, and that somewhere, because Pismo, and I know I've said this to you before, because Pismo is looking to discharge or dispose its waste in your communities as part of their recharge disposal scheme, that you can use your trump card and slow them down. Make them wait for you or include you in whatever grants they're getting, whatever studies they're doing, because you are partners in the basin. And I hate to see you put $20 million into a redundancy project when you may be right on the heels of that, putting equal or more into a recycling project. And I think what the recycling rescoping was to do was to look at off-site recycling, and I think you could do all of that off the current site that you're on. So those are my thoughts and a couple of questions.
Okay.
And glad to have Mr. Clemens back.
Okay, John. So I'm going to close this to the public, bring it back. Did you want to reply to the why the manholes covers were raised?
Yeah, it was part of normal maintenance for county roads. I guess periodically they resurface a lot of the asphalt roads, and they actually resurface, I think, all of 19th or whatever street that is. And there were just two of ours, but there were a lot of manholes raised. It's just that two of them were the manholes for the sanitation district, so we decided to raise our own.
Okay, great. Thank you. Gerhard, anything that you want to add to that or the other comments you heard?
Just when we talk about reports and memos, certainly if those are available, we provide them under the public records request. So Ms. Tacker has made those. And in some cases, those reports don't exist yet. We haven't received them. We haven't reviewed them.
Yeah.
So, but certainly we'll provide anything that that we have.
So I would say, yeah, if you receive them and it's appropriate, or if you've only got one and you're going back out for another bid, then you should definitely hold them so we can look at them at the same time. So we'll trust your judgment on that. Okay. Okay, let's move on to our action items. Item 7A, this is heating, vacuum, and air conditioning, ductwork repairs. And Mr. Clemens, are you giving the staff report, or Gerhard, how do you want to handle this?
We would ask that 7A and 7C be kind of heard together,
okay,
be considered together. They are related, and they do talk about our administration building, and Mr. Clemens will do that report, if that's...
Gil, we're okay doing that, considering 7A and C together?
I am.
Okay.
Okay. Good evening once again, Board. In 7A, staff has recommended the Board authorize the District Administrator into agreement with Next Heating and Plumbing for the repair of our HVAC. The roof of the main administration building leaks in several places. It leaks in the lunchroom. It leaks in the main lobby where we receive visitors. It may leaks in the operator area, so it leaks in, and there's a lot of moisture also in my office that comes down through those vents. So we originally thought it was a roofing problem. So we actually asked three different roofing agencies to come by and take a look and see what they would assess the situation. And each of them came through and they came to the same conclusion that our roof was at least intact, but the major problem had more to do with where our ducting ran through the roof and through the ceiling, and that all three of them said that they, without it being an actual, they could put a roof on, but we didn't need to put a roof on, and that they didn't do the ducting repair. But all three of them, each of them recommended the connect that we call connect and get an assessment and maybe a proposal from them. And so we went out and we could contact the connect. We had them come in and look for the duct work. We received a proposal for them. That proposal is included here. And that's what we're asking the board to approve the contract. Okay, and that's for 7A. Did you want me to cover C at the same time? Or?
No, let's do this. Why don't we just take them? So we'll take 7A and then we'll take 7C because I think they both require specific action. So, John, any other thing on that one?
No, that's complete for me.
Okay, and so the recommendation is that we enter into an agreement with, is this?
Next
Heating and Plumbing in the amount of $18,591 for the repair of HVAC ducting and administration control building. Any questions of staff?
Just one, please.
Okay, Tim?
John, this just kind of feels like it's deferred maintenance, something that's needed to be done for a while, and it's just getting done, right?
Yes. It's been leaking since I've been there. So.
Yeah, okay. That's all, Mr. Chair.
Very good.
I would only have, we actually do have photos. That's what we're trying to bring up. John can't see that we're trying to do that, but you can take a look at.
If we show around the, if we can get to, it's a few photos now, but you can look at the, you can see the vents where there's moisture.
Okay.
Here's one of the vents.
And if you were to look closer, you'd see that there's actually cardboard on the interior of the vents. Because we can't open and shut them, and we have to try to keep the moisture. So there's actually a cardboard circle inside of the vent
pans
there, and that's pretty much a condition of all our vents. So Mr. Brown, you hit it right on the head. It's really, really deferred maintenance in this particular case.
Okay, Mary.
Deferred maintenance on the coast. No. So about how many feet long are the ducts? About, what would you say, about 500, 600 feet of duct? You're not going to get any argument of needing to replace it. I firmly believe in keeping breathing things where you get your air clean and mildew-free. So how many feet would you say of duct that you're, you know...
I never looked. It's a
guesstimate.
Because it's the entire building. It's
so you're doing all the ducts?
All the ducts for the entire building, yes.
Okay. And then when the ones that come through into the interior, I ask that you stay on the contractor to make sure that there's no mildew or dust or anything that is caught up for when they put, because I've seen that happen before, that they didn't clean the space and those impurities kind of wreck the whole concept. Secondly, I want to ask, is the air conditioning unit in good enough condition, or what kind of lifespan do you think is on it? Because if you're going to put a duct system in place, right, you know, at 20K and then your unit is not very good.
We recently replaced it.
Oh, great. Excuse me. Okay, so you recently did
replace it. Yeah, it's less than 2 years old.
Okay, so that's fine.
One of the first things we looked at was our air conditioning unit, and then if there was some air filtration possibilities. So, again, sort of going down the reason of deduction, eliminating where we could, thought up the roof, deducting. I don't have an answer in terms of how much.
I got a pretty good idea. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to comment on this item? No one wants to talk about duck work. Okay, let's bring it back to the board, and I'll say, deferred maintenance. We definitely need to take care of these things that have been put off. So is someone prepared to make a motion on this item?
I'd move for approval.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion, there's a second. No additional discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. So let's move on to item 7C. This is the bathroom repair and the in the building. John?
Once again, another case of deferred maintenance. It's a 50-year-old building. I'll say it now. I don't know if I have it in the report here, if we have it. But one of the things is when we dug down to investigate the pipe, we discovered that the pipe was encased in concrete, which is basically not allowed by code anymore because the concrete expands and you end up with a lot of cracks. So that's something that we would have needed to change anyway. But I'll go back to the beginning. In early May, the drain pipe from the urinal in the men's restroom became clogged. Staff attempted to clear the clog. We're pretty good with pipes, too, around there, but we weren't able to get that one clear. Hmm. We got an industrial snake. We tried to stick our own cameras down there. Our staff informed me that they thought the pipe had collapsed on the interior, so... we got a plumber out there, and after quite a bit of work, he was able to push through the clog. But he came back and informed me that he thought it was he also thought that we had a collapsed pipe, and that even though he cleared it, he didn't expect it to last very long. That it would cave back in a short time, and so of course it did. And we called out another plumber, and they came out and they checked and. And the first plumber also told us that we needed to replace our urinal. It was kind of old. It was outdated. It was inefficient. And it wasn't going to continue to work either. And so the second plumber came. He had all the same opinions. He could not get it unclogged, so we had him take it off, take the urinal off the wall. And that's when we discovered that all the piping, he needed to check the trap first. And he discovered that all the piping was encased in concrete. So even with the urinal off, he tried to stick a camera down in there. Couldn't see much because the pipe had actually clogged on the inside. I asked him to document or write a report. It's included in the board pack, his diagnosis report of the situation. Both plumbers also noted while they were there at different times that our bathroom was not ADA compliant, and that's something that we should do. That we needed to do to come in compliance with that. Right now, the current drainage pipe in the restroom is encased in piping. The piping is over 50 years old. So it's 50 years old and in concrete. So there's not a real opportunity to actually repair that pipe. But I think that it's clear that the option is to try to run a different pipe, cut through the concrete, saw cut, and make a conduit for some new drainage pipes in there. The thought on here, though, I can't help but to wonder, this is just the men's bathroom. Hmm. And then we still have the women's bathroom right next to it. And then we also have the lab, and all of them run down to the same drainage. So this may be the beginning. Again, and all these pipes are the same age, they're 50 years old. This may be the beginning of something larger. But at this point, if we're going to, we need to concentrate on getting the men's bathroom with drainage. That, what you see on the screen is where we are right now. That's where our urinal used to be, and that's what we're waiting to see if we can't get corrected. As part of this, they'll change out the toilet, bring it up to date, and put our stalls in the place where we'll be ADA compliant so that... wheelchairs can get in there if they needed to, and replace some of the piping in the shower area. I think all that's included in his proposal. $10,000 is the quote we got from him. For me, I kind of thought that I thought it might be a little bit more given everything necessary, because he was in there all day Saturday. jackhammering through 3 feet of concrete just to get to a pipe. And all of our pipes are like that in that building. So there's a few more slides on here. If we got a couple more minutes of coming. Okay, that's the sink we need to. It's all got that crusty color on it.
So these photos are all of our administrative building, some of the issues that we've highlighted before in terms of either oldness, age.
Okay.
You can see ceiling tiles. These are some of the ergonomic issues that we've pointed out in the past in terms of shared space. This shared space, you can see this colored carpet. There's basically sludge that's been tracked onto the ground. This is where Ms. Simpson sits, by the way. This is where the women have to come in to where the office space that I share with Ms. Simpson. That's the women's bathroom, by the way. So there's some privacy issues potentially that just bring into your attention. This is our reception area. That's the carpet. We've had some recommendations in terms of flooring and replacing that. This is Mr. Clemens' office. He already brought the ducting issue. That's one of them above him. If you go, I'll bring this up. That's peeling paint, potentially wall deterioration due to water damage. Moving on, this is where our operators sit. You can see we also share that with our SCADA and our electrical system, so it's pretty confined in terms of the number of folks that are utilizing that space. This is the kitchen break area, and this is where we hold meetings. Folks need to walk through, which gets you to the next slide. This is our break room, but is also used to hold meetings with professional staff. So, I could go on, but I'll just stop there.
Thank you. We get the picture. Yes. Let's deal with the issue before us.
I'm sorry. We happen to have that string of pictures, and it's like I said, this is probably bigger of a larger part of a larger issue. But getting back to the issue at hand, the short story is that we need to replace the urinal, make our bathroom ADA compliant, and replace some piping. And it's going to take some construction work, some saw cutting and some pipe placement and all that. And the quote we've gotten is $10,000 from after checking with two different plumbers.
Okay, very good. Any questions of staff?
I have two, please.
Yeah, Tim, you have?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, regarding the pipe that might be collapsed, how far down does that collapse, and is it possibly been a problem for a while?
It's been a problem. Since I've been there, we've had it cleared. This is probably the third time. And so it's been an ongoing problem. I think it's, if I remember, it may be in his report how far down. He'd actually tried to push further to see how far out.
I guess what I'm concerned about is the fact that it's been ongoing cause any sort of cleanup issue. Now that we're down there doing what we're supposed to be doing. Is there effluent that's all over the place down there that needs to be cleaned up, or
on the surface, on the ground now?
Somewhere down there where the pipes, collapsed. I'm just wondering if that's an issue.
We didn't see enough to evaluate that. That's a good question. Is there some? Well, the cleanup part, no, because it's encased in concrete. That's the kind of the good news and the bad news.
Okay.
Encasing pipe in concrete doesn't give it. The concrete moves, the pipe doesn't. You end up breaking.
Okay.
But the good news is the debris can't go anywhere because
it's right there. Okay. So my other question has to do with just economies of scale. Is it possible that it would be cheaper if we did the women's restroom at the same time? Would there be any cost savings to do them both at the same time?
That is a good question. That's a thought that we've had. Answer that. We need a professional
to
answer.
It clearly needs to get done, and it doesn't seem to. I don't quite understand why we're piecemealing it, because we might be able to get a break on price if we do it together.
That is a very good point.
So, just my thought.
Okay. Gerhard, do you have anything you want to add?
No, it's a good point. We've seen, there are a variety of issues, and there may be additional plumbing. We just don't know. Well, we didn't get a quote beyond that.
And the women's restroom is not ADA compliant anyway, is it?
It is.
Oh, it is. So that wouldn't be ADA issues, it'd just be plumbing issues possibly.
Correct.
Well, and they've had a few times where we've had to correct it, get the plumbing going.
Yeah, well, I don't know. My concern is that we should try to save money if we can. But thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Mary, anything?
No.
Okay. And John, so clearly we've got quite a bit of deferred maintenance that's been going on. I mean, so is this just something that we felt we could get by with over the, I don't even know how many years to go back and say, you know, was this ever brought to previous boards?
I think that it's one of those situations where we as staff, we kind of focused on the plant. So in other words, we're looking outside. And I think had we had an administrator prior to now, then these things would have been brought to light sooner. It's not the kind of thing that staff highlights, but they should be. Uh-huh. I'm not saying they shouldn't be. But we're looking out at the plant, trying to keep all these processes running. And we see a little leak inside somewhere, which we have since I've been there. And we just kind of go, that's not important. We got to keep the plant running.
Okay.
And when you get someone who's an administrator who's used to keeping the whole, then these things are brought out. And then as they're brought out, we're going, yeah, you know what? You're right. We probably should have
looked
at that sooner.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's pretty obvious that we are getting to a situation where we can talk about unsafe, unsanitary conditions, and it's good that we've got a new district administrator, someone who brings this fresh set of eyes, and clearly it's got everyone's best interest at heart out there. So what I'm going to do is open this up to the public and see if anyone from the public has any comments on this. Is item 7C, bathroom repairs in the district's administration control building. Yep, no one wants to talk about bathrooms, okay? All right, we'll bring it back to the board and see if someone wants to make a motion on this item.
Mr. Chair, respectfully, I'd like to figure out some way to craft a motion that it would include the women's restroom, because I'd like to see if we can save some money.
Okay, so legal counsel, is there a way we can authorize this and give further direction, or how would you suggest we move forward?
My recommendation would be approve the action tonight and then give direction to staff to retain a plumber to get an estimate, because you'd want to look into the cost and of course try to get that.
I'm trying to save money, and if we do it separately, we're not going to save any money. That's the problem.
So okay.
So I guess the point we're doing this separately is to try to economically save a little bit. So why don't we just approve $10,200 to be used in the men's restroom, an equal or lesser value to be used in the women's restroom?
Are we okay with something like that? I don't necessarily. Well, let me get an opinion from legal counsel. That's okay.
Yeah, I believe it's difficult, so that you don't have an actual estimate from a plumber. Regarding economies of scale, I think that the plumber that you have retained is someone who you have confidence in, who obviously would want repeat business, and who would give presumably a favorable bid on a second job while he's there already prepared for the first job. So that's where my thought was coming on getting that second bid.
So how about this? The question is, I mean, clearly we've got a picture. Am I looking at that correctly? There is no urinal in place.
That is correct. The current condition.
So.
Good thing there's a women's bathroom.
So the women's bathroom is functional. I'm just wondering if obviously I was going to say, is we have no urinal. So I think basically let's move forward with this, and maybe the idea is to give direction to have the plumber, before they start, do an estimate, and maybe there's a way to report back to the board. And
when does the board meet next?
We meet in
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Okay, someone want to try a motion?
Look for approval.
Well, I thought, you know, the I'm trying not to overstep my boundaries, but maybe a not to exceed amount like $20,000 for both would be something. And if it exceeds that, then we could bring it back to the board, maybe something like that.
I just want to, my only hesitation is that we've got a packet that has specified an amount, and that's what my concerns are. But that's what I'm trying to get from legal counsel.
In 2 weeks, he's probably not going to be done.
If I may, I always like to have a bid because once you put a number out there, the bids tend to
meet that number.
I move that we
go ahead,
accept
Mary.
Staff recommendations at $10,200 to repair the men's restroom, and that that at the next board meeting a proposal be brought for the women's restroom.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. I think that's a prudent course. And so there's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. So I think staff understands that the $10,200 has been approved for the men's, and that they will seek a estimate on the women's restroom and bring that back to us at the subsequent meeting, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's go back to item 7B. This is acquisition of automated 8-inch valves to support the district's grit removal project. Gerhard, are you giving the staff report?
I will, yes. Thank you, Chair Scholes, board members, members of the audience, Gerhard Huebner. This is an item to consider acquisition and approval of an automated 8-inch valve to support the district's grit removal project. A little bit of background, as you are aware, and as I briefed you earlier, we're in the process of installing or constructing and installing a grit removal system at our wastewater treatment plant. This system does require a minimum process water flow to function properly. Nighttime flows at the plant typically fall below a minimum flow requirement, or at least an optimal flow required to operate the system. To augment these nighttime flows through the grit removal system, staff plans to return water from the secondary clarifier to the headworks to the existing return line. Thus, the request for this automated valve. Now, we do have a manual valve currently installed. This would be replaced by this automated valve. This would allow us to control the return water from the secondary clarifier, as I mentioned earlier. We have checked with several vendors to acquire an appropriate valve for this application. We do have a quote for the valve, and that is attached to this staff report. The quoted price of the valve is $12,450. That's also attached. Installation of this valve will be conducted with existing staff, so we'll use existing staff labor. As noted above, the installation of this automated valve will help with the performance of our grit removal system. That's why we're making that recommendation for you today. We are recommending as part of this approval, and as you know, we are in a new fiscal year with the budget adopted by your board back in June, this wasn't actually identified within that budget. So we're recommending replacement of two projects that are listed, and that's under the fiscal consideration. So we're not recommending at this point to go to contingency. We think we can defer these two particular projects. There may be savings later in the year, and we might come back and utilize that money. But that's where the funding is recommended for this particular valve. And that concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? None for you, Tim? None, Mary? Anyone from the audience want to comment on the automated valve? Seeing none, let me bring it back to the board. Is anyone prepared to make a motion on this item?
Move for approval.
Okay, there's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. No additional discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. Let's move into item 7D. This is resolution number 2016-354, adoption of the San Luis Obispo County Integrated Regional Water Management Plan and approval of the district's participation as a program participant. Mr. Huebner.
Thank you, Chair Scholes, board members. Well, I had to have at least one PowerPoint presentation for you today, so a little levity.
Will that not go to full screen? Is that?
Yes, it will.
Okay.
There we go.
Perfect. Thank you.
Excellent. So it's my pleasure to introduce this item. I won't be doing the majority of the speaking, as I'll point out in a moment. But this is consideration of a resolution 2016-364, adoption of the San Luis Obispo Integrated Regional Water Management Plan and approval of the district's participation as part of this IRWMP program as a participant. So just quick overview. We will have a presentation. We're blessed, actually honored, by having a member of the San Luis Obispo County staff. He'll go through what the program is all about in a moment. I'll then come back to you with some of the benefits to the county, or to our district by participation, and then we'll have a recommendation for you at the end. With this moment, I'd like to have our county representative come up. And actually, I'll let him introduce himself.
Thank you. Chair Scholes and board members, my name is Mladen Bandov, and I'm with the County of San Luis Obispo Public Works. I'm a water resources engineer there, and I'm also the IRWM program manager for the county. And I'd like to give a brief presentation on the program, which is related to the resolution before you. So the IRWM plan, the Integrated Regional Water Management Plan, its vision is to create a unified framework among the county stakeholders for sustainable water resource management. And the mission is to facilitate regional plans, programs, and projects to further sustainable water regional management, resource management. So the program, it was developed under an act from the department that came through the Department of Water Resources on the state level in 2002, and regions were given the task or the ability to manage their water resources locally, where you have the big infrastructure projects like the State Water Project, the Central Valley Project, and large flood management projects. Other water resources were seen to be better handled on a local level. And so regions within California were given the ability to form regions. There are around 50 or so regions currently. And the program promotes the practices of the strategies that the state had developed, which were to have sustainable water uses, create reliable water supplies, increase and create better water quality, have better environmental stewardship of water, increase efficiency in urban development, protect the agriculture and rural areas, and create kind of a watershed awareness for the region. The program, the way that the program would be implemented was through a plan. Our county had developed its first plan back in 2005. There have been several updates since then, and updated to the state standards. The latest update is 2014, and that 2014 plan is contained within the resolution presented as part of this item. The plan is updated every 5 years, or roughly thereafter, or about that frequency. And the plan contains our county's, our region's water-related information, kind of a comprehensive guide for all the water across the board. Looks at a watershed level. We have 25 large watersheds in the county. It's divided into three areas on a watershed level: the North County, the North Coast, and your board, your district here is in the South County subregion. The plan also identifies interagency opportunities. There's multiple agencies to bring to the table and partner and look at maybe there are some opportunities. And the other concept of the plan has to manage water resources collaboratively so that we're not recreating and doing too many things all at once, that we're seeing where we can come together to the table. And then involve multiple stakeholders. You have agencies, you have people who are concerned with watershed, groundwater, you have disadvantaged communities, you have Native American tribes, everyone coming to the table, and then generally members of the public to be aware of what's going on. It crosses jurisdictional boundaries, and it also facilitates eligibility for grants. Adopting the plan is one of the usually an eligibility requirement for state bond grants. So who implements the IRWM plan? The Regional Water Management Group, RWMG. It's a currently there are 23 signatories on a memorandum of understanding, and they are comprised of two categories: local agencies, which can be a county, city, a special district, public utility, mutual water company, or any other political subdivision. The two RCDs, resource conservation districts, would be those political subdivisions as an example, and also 501c3 nonprofits, of which we have the Land Conservancy, Central Coast Salmon Enhancement, and so forth. And here's an example of all the agencies who are currently members of the RWMG. And the memorandum of understanding, just the basic framework, is that the flood control, the county flood control and water conservation district, is the lead agency. They're the ones that actually enter into grant agreements with the state, and they're the ones that execute those grant agreements. They're also the key, the final decision maker or ultimate decision maker in any process. But they're given recommendations from the RWMG and also from the Water Resource Advisory Committee, another organization that advises the board. The RAC is actually appointed by the board or approved by the board of supervisors, while the RWMG are member agencies who are more concerned with the implementation of the plan itself. And those two agencies or groups advise the district, the flood control district, to enter into agreements and grant, apply for grants and so forth. And then there's an RWMG working group, which are several members from different regions who kind of drill down and focus on specific projects, recommendations, updating lists, coming up with sub-regional priorities and that sort of thing. And then the three other groups, which are down at the bottom here, are the RWMG member agency themselves, who can submit projects for grants and have decision-making capability as you go forward. There's another category called implementation affiliate, who adopt the plan but aren't, maybe don't want to be involved with the decision-making process. We don't currently have any implementation affiliates. Everyone who wanted to be a member or be a part of this process also are RWMG members. And then the third category is pretty much everyone else. They're just interested stakeholders. They're welcome to come to the meetings and participate as such. And so the two things that an RWMG member would need to do is to adopt the plan, the latest plan, and to sign the Memorandum of Understanding. And the website where more information can be found is at slocountywater.org/IRWM, or if you go to slocountywater.org, you can click the button or links that link you to Integrated Regional Water Management. And that concludes my presentation. And
turn great, thank back. You for that presentation. Gerhardt, you have something else?
Just concluding remarks. So some of the benefits, and you probably heard this, and this may sound a little bit redundant, but being a participant, and again, I'm bringing a perspective of my Ventura County, and we had a very successful IRWM program. We had lots of participation by not only special district cities, the flood control district, which was the watershed protection district. We actually had a cost share program. And in this county, you actually have the benefit of the county actually paying for their staff's participation. So that's really great. But being part of this program not only provides regional benefit, collaboration, but that's what the state wants to see. They don't want to deal with individual entities when they're dealing with dealing out the grant programs. And there's various grant programs. So having a single voice or a collective voice is so important when you're going. And these grant programs are very, very competitive. So key participation, having the district there will allow us also to get some of our projects on the IRWM plan project list and make us eligible for future opportunities. So it's, again,
not emphasize the importance of that. And then just the last point, it does provide us an opportunity to find out what others are doing, learn from them, they learn from us, and having that network and building those working relationships just can't be emphasized enough. So there's just a variety of reasons why being part of this group, and I really don't know very many downsides, so just want to emphasize that. So our recommendation today is three-pronged. This is what they require, the county requires to have us be participants. And so we've taken essentially the language that the county provided for us, and that's the resolution you see before you. Second, that you direct the administrator to sign the memorandum of understanding. And then there's a request that we file a notice of exemption so that we're covered with CEQA. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Any questions?
I do.
Okay, Kim. Tim?
In terms of the distribution of grant money within the county to all the signatories, is that done on a competitive basis, or is it prioritized in some particular fashion?
I'm going to defer to my county counterpart because he'll have the perspective and the experience of how they've done it.
I'm Len Band of County of San Luis Obispo. Yeah, all the grants, for the most part, are competitive within our county. So the Department of Water Resources will issue through whatever bond is currently available, and then we will, as a group, the RWMG will look through the solicitation that was provided and evaluate the current project list that have met the requirements, gone through the project solicitation, ranking, and internal scoring, and then those will be recommended to be submitted in an application.
So is that ultimate decision-making by the Board of Supervisors or somebody else?
The Board of Supervisors, sitting as the flood-controlled district, makes the ultimate decision. That's correct.
So I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, in terms of all the signatories being a part of this, what's the advantage in terms of any particular jurisdiction being signed on if it's still going to be competitive, other than the fact, like Gearhart said, they don't want to be piecemealing grant money out to individual jurisdictions?
One benefit is that most of the grant, the RWM program, so there are within, say, for instance, Proposition 1, which is the current $7.5 billion that's bond obligation. The RWM program is only $43 million for our Central Coast region. That's from Santa Cruz down to only to Santa Barbara. And but that money is specifically, and I'd characterize it as being towards integration, towards finding multiple beneficial projects and towards working together. There's other proposition money that any agency can go for, recycled water, desalination, watershed, ocean protection, those are also within Proposition 1. But this money, you have to be, for this pot of money, you have to be a member or an affiliate or part of that.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mary?
I'm very familiar with this one, as you well know. I think it's a great structure that's being built, and like you said, it's in Ventura, and it's been put out in many other areas as well. And that, I think you're working on Prop 1 money right now?
That's correct.
Correct, and there's, what, $5 million left in that pool or something? Well, anyway, another thing that this, I think, is not being talked about much is after the buzzwords in Congress started using shovel ready projects, what they figured out is that this excluded underserved working poor communities from the process because not all communities can afford to have plans sitting on the shelves. And so they went to the IRWMs or whatever they wanted to call for distribution. And they said that you have to have a particular amount, and each state and county has a different amount, that different percentage that will be put towards underserved communities. So that, long story short, so on this board, we have two communities that have been considered to be you know, working class, poor communities, you know, underserved, you know, whatever, you know, the term is we're using this week, on this board, but not all three members are considered. Arroyo Grande is not on that list. You know, then there are some cities that should not be on the list because they're exploiting this, and that's another discussion. But Grover Beach does have underserved, working poor communities in their area, and of course, Oceano. So could the sanitation district actively participate in having that shovel-ready, you know, money for underserved communities or disadvantaged communities, I guess is the term you're using. Would we be eligible to look at those?
Yes.
And the plants in it, you know, look where the plant is.
So as a special district, the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District can participate and have a project and be the project sponsor for a project. So how it would typically work, or how it typically works is the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control District, Flood Control and Water Conservation District, which is the board members, the board of supervisors for the county are the same board members for that organization. They're the one that enter into an agreement with DWR, and then there are funding agreements with project sponsors. So currently, Oceano CSD, in this latest grant, Prop 84, Oceano CSD, Templeton CSD, and San Simeon CSD, all three have funding agreements with the Flood Control District.
Correct.
And have grant monies coming to them for those projects that they have. Does that answer the question there?
No, but that's okay.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that the sanitation district, because we're not 100%, we're not reflective of each community, you know, we're economically extremely different, right? Will they still be able to qualify to use disadvantaged funds, earmarked funds, for plans?
Right. So being a member of the RWMG member or for the RWM plan and program, there's no disqualification for not being or being a disadvantaged community. However, and what you're referring to is there is a special set aside funds for disadvantaged communities. In the current coming up Prop 1 for RWM, it's about 10% for projects, and there's another set of money, 10% of the total funding available for involvement projects. The way that the program guidelines and the project solicitation is laid out is that says prove or demonstrate how much of the funding or the project directly benefits a disadvantaged community. And so if a project were to be selected or proposed and selected by this district, then part of that money that you can show, you know, to whatever population or proportion goes to a disadvantaged community could, you know, would qualify for, and the benefit of being a disadvantaged community is not needing matching funds for Prop 1. It's 50% for a disadvantaged community. The matching funds could either be reduced or waived.
You answered it multiple different ways that time. Thank you very much for coming today.
Thank you.
Very good. Gerhard, I have a couple questions for you. So what are the fiscal considerations for the district adopting a plan and signing on? I know that you didn't put anything in the staff report, so other than staff time, is that pretty much it?
Yes.
Okay, and what's the commitment on time you would anticipate?
They meet, I think it's monthly, quarterly?
Every monthly, but not every month.
And you meet by conference call as well, too, right?
Yeah,
it's an option.
Okay, how about one at a time? It's okay.
So you're looking at a couple hours once a month. We'll just bind it that way.
Okay. And then maybe you can go back to the slide where you identify benefits for the district so that we don't lose sight of what, in fact, is being put forth. Okay. Very good.
And I would just add to Madeline's response, having disadvantaged community in this case is actually beneficial because a little check box on any district project or
overall, the county will be looking for projects that will meet their criteria and be able to count on that DAC. Is again, it's only in this case beneficial to our applications.
Well, I brought it up for a reason.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for coming and making the presentation. So let me see if there's any member in the audience that would like to address the item before the board.
Julie Tacker again, and if your board appointed Mr. Huebner and Mr. Clemens to the RAC recently, and if I'm not mistaken, there's an IRWM group meeting in the morning, and then the RAC meets in the afternoon. So I don't know if that's turns into all day or portion of the day to each of them. It's more than a couple of hours if you participate fully. Does that include mileage reimbursement, lunch since you're out working for the district? There can be more expenses than just staff time, and I think that needs to be recognized. I was interested in Ms. Lucy's questions about disadvantaged community or underserved, and that I don't know if an economic analysis has been done of the sanitation district and what percentage that is when you combine, say, using census tracts to get to a number of how many people we're talking about, and really how, you know, sometimes those that are not disadvantaged will, there becomes an equalization, and then you're not eligible. I know in Los Osos, and it was actually quite clever. Our whole community wasn't served by our project, and they used the census tracts for just that portion of the community, and then went to USDA, and rather than ask for $90 million, they asked for $10 million loans. So, and we got those all at a low interest rate. So, you know, there is creativity out there, but I am curious what that number is of the disadvantaged in the sanitation district, and if those numbers have ever been run before. So, if, I'm sure your staff can get back to us.
Very good, thank you. Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close it, bring it back to the board, and I think we need a motion on this item.
I'm ready to move forward, Mr. Chair, with a resolution number 2016-354, resolution adopting the 2014 San Luis Obispo County Integrated Water Management Plan and finding the project is exempt from Section 21 et al. Of California Public Resources Code, CEQA. In addition, I would request that we also approve the Memorandum of Understanding.
Very good.
Second.
There's a second. If there's no additional discussion, roll call, please.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Chairman Schultz?
Yes.
Director Brown?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Very good. Thank you, Amy. So that is our last item, public hearing item. Do we have any board member comments tonight? Okay. Seeing none, we have no closed session items. So I think at this point we are adjourned.